Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Hey y'all, I am so excited about today's episode of the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. I got to talk with Lauren Mosier, who grew up at camp as a camper, a counselor, a camp rat, a program director, a director's assistant. She has spent so much time at Camp Chioka, and her heart just speaks of so much truth and so much beauty from the things that she has learned here. She'll talk with us today about finding her identity as God's daughter and how knowing her identity has fed into her ability to love others well, specifically the students that she teaches since she is an elementary school teacher. She sees her kids as who God made them to be, and also just sees God's word so alive and active in who they are. She'll also talk with us about creativity. Lauren paints, and her artwork is absolutely beautiful, and also finding God and the people that he has so lovingly placed in her life. We talked about so many things. There were lots of tears flowing, and I just pray that y'all are as blessed by these words and as encouraged by these words as I was. We have Lauren Mosier with us today. Lauren, say hi to your new friends.
Hello.
So what is the main thing that you have learned from camp?
Okay, so I would say that of my 19 years being at camp, like the one thing that I've learned continuously, like year after year, would be my identity and like declaring that my identity is in the Lord and like that he fulfills that. I think as a kid, like, I just had lots of issues finding who I was and determining, like, myself. I'll just tell you, like, a background, because I don't think you know this anyways. But my mom was pregnant with me in college, and my biological dad gave her $15 out of his pocket and said, I don't want to do anything, like, just take it and go. And so she got married to who I call dad, who is my brother and sister's dad, when I was 2.5. And so he's been my dad this whole time. And then when I was a freshman in college, I decided, like, to go meet him because he only lives 45 minutes from here. Yeah. And so I went to meet him, and that just really messed up my head and, like, messed up my heart because I, all of that time in high school, like, had just been looking to find someone who actually cared and, like, wanted to be a part of my life. And so being able to come out to camp every summer and, like, continuously be reminded that my identity is in the Lord is a huge thing for me. And, like, I will carry that forever because I've, like, got a firm foundation out here of who I am and, yes, you know, what I want to be. And then on top of that, they just, like, being out here, it seems like even if you don't want to, you're pushed to use your talents that you don't know that you have.
Absolutely.
And so, like, when I was a kid, Miss Lindy, like, she is another mother to me. And so she's like, oh, yeah, you're artistic. Let's do this. Like, here, take a spray paint can and just go. And that's, I mean, that's how my creativity started, because someone out here pursued me to do that and saw that within me. And so being out here gives you that capability to do new things and just try without fear of failure.
Yeah, finding your identity and your foundation in the Lord, what do you view that as? Like, what do you remind yourself that he says you are? Or what scripture do you go into? Anything?
I constantly go back to Psalms 139, where he tells me that, like, he knit me in my mother's womb, and, like, he knows my inmost being, and, like, he knows who I am and made me to be who I am, created me for a purpose. And so I constantly go back to that because, obviously, if you've ever been to camp, you've been a part of spiritual activities.
Yeah.
And so spiritual activities were the part of my life that had changed who I am. And so we did a spiritual activity, I think, when I was a sophomore in high school. And they laid out these brown pieces of paper and had all these sins written on them. And so I struggled hard with the same sin all through high school into college. Like, until I was married, I struggled with the same sin. And so my sin was written on this paper. I go over to the sin and stand there. And then whenever we, like, did all this process, they talk to you about your sins. And then we flip the papers over to the white side. and it had all these names of Jesus, like all the names of God that you would call him. And so on the other side of the paper was the name Father. And so for me, that's what gave me my identity, to come out here and know that my identity is in Jesus. The Lord is my Father, and like, I don't have to seek to be anyone's daughter or to have the approval to be their daughter, because I already have the Lord's approval to be his.
Yeah.
So.
And there's such freedom in finding that our approval is there.
Yes.
And I think that's why everyone feels so free in themselves at camp, is because we know of that approval and identity.
Yeah. And there's no fear of people here who are going to tell you that it's not, or like try to change your opinion. And they only support you in what you're feeling and where the Spirit's leading you. And I think that's amazing.
Yes. And then you said you kept struggling with the same thing all throughout high school and like into college. What encouragement do you have for people who they keep coming back to camp every year and they're like, why is this the same thing I'm wrestling with?
I truly, in my inmost being, think that the devil like grabs onto one thing, that like once you get stuck, he's going to grab a hold and keep you in that rut and only make it muddier, the whole process that you're in it. And so for me, like, I had my band of people, my camp people, like my camp family, and like those people knew my biggest struggles, like knew what I had issues with. Like, and so coming out here every summer was like, even if I had done the same thing over and over, like, I still was constantly reminded by those people, by Jesus in the summer, like, by the family that was here, that forgiveness is real and you can just keep going. And so, for me, like, now looking back in my high school and college years, like, when I went back to school, I was in public school. And so, you're not surrounded by Christian people all the time. You could find them, but I didn't try to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, trying to stay connected to those people that you met in the summer made the difference.
Yeah.
And they uphold you and like uplift you to be better. And just like, you know, over the fall and like when y'all are going to school, like I try my best to stay connected to you because you need that. Like, and people need that. And I don't think they realize it because we have such an independent culture. And so
We do. What are traits that you kind of look for in friends and in building friendships, and like interconnectivity throughout the year?
Well, so that's a hard question, because when I was in high school, I was that girl that had all guy friends, and I didn't have any friends that were females. And from a like woman standpoint, that is so important to have, to have those female friends, because they understand you. They have the same hormones as you. Like, they live the same life as you, have the same struggles. I can't go and talk about like my sin in my life to some guy, because if I go and talk to him about the sin that I have, which I had lots of issues with, sexual impurities. And so if I go talk to a guy about that, I can't, because we don't relate on that level, or we're going to make a connection that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, and cause both of us to be worse than we were. And so, I just, like, and I'm not saying that you can't have those guy friends, because I have lots of really great guy friends who uplift me, but, like, you look for somebody, like, someone who is going to love you for who you are, who gives you forgiveness unconditionally, who listens truly, and then I would say also someone who's just, like, whenever I have an issue, I want a friend who's going to respond to me with scripture and like uplift me in the beliefs that I have and remind me that I have my strength from the Lord.
Yes. I'm so glad that you said that about like friendship and gender and all those things, because I definitely was also always growing up friends with all the guys. And remember when I would go to the summer camp that I went to, I would like be with all the girls like to go to sleep. And I'm like, this is just so awkward, because I didn't want to do girl talk. Like, I didn't, like, whatever they were talking about, I'm like, ew, this is weird. But how important that's become to, like, have those friends and not just have guys to go to, because our hearts are understood by the people that are made like us. Like, that's just so important.
Oh, yeah.
So then, going from identity, you're a teacher, and you love all these little humans at school.
I do.
How does identity, like, play into the role you have as a teacher?
So, this past school year was my first, like, normal year, mm-hmm. I would say, which it's not even close to normal for most people. Like, but I've always been in low-income schools.
Yeah.
And so those are kids who don't have anything and, like, don't have support from their families, who aren't loved how they should be, and how they're, like, most of my children are African-American. And so they get their identity and their culture. And, like, they see it on TV and they see it on social media because, for whatever reason, seven-year-olds are allowed to have social media. they just, like, are constantly drawing from their surroundings.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just read a paper about this, which is so funny because I talked about how much their environmental situations and the events around them are the reason that they are the way they are, yeah. and how they act at school. And so for the longest time when I started my first year, I was so confused why kids would come to my class and, like, just sleep all day as a seven-year-old. And, like, so I just really struggled with that because I was like, geez, I'm a boring teacher. Like, or they just don't want to, you know, be a part of our yeah. events. So it's constantly waking them up. And then I realized, like, their surroundings don't allow them to sleep. Like, or don't allow them to get the rest they yeah. need or the food they need. And so when I started to realize these things, it really opened my eyes and scared me to death because my life is nothing like that. And I think that there are huge issues in my life and it's incomparable to what they're yeah. going through. And so they find, as little kids, like, start to build their identity off of what they're in and off of their surroundings and are basically, like, set up for failure unless yeah. there's someone who comes to uplift him. And so I've always said, basically, to every principal that I've come in contact with, because I've been at five different schools in 5 years, and I always say, like, you may not get the best scores out of me, but you are going to get better kids, like, because it's not just about their, like, scores and how well they do on tests and if they pass or fail a grade. Like, obviously, we want them all to pass a grade and do their best, but they can't do their best in the situations that they come from. Yeah. And so I always start my year with just uplifting them and letting them know that they're important and that people care about them outside of where they live, because they don't get that affirmation from people. And that breaks my heart and is the reason that I still teach. Like, and yeah. I want to be in those types of schools because they are horrible situations and they are awful kids, but I love them all so much. And I just constantly want to reiterate to them that, like, their identity can be in something else. It doesn't yeah. have to be in their surroundings.
And that points them back so much to the love of the Father, that you love them regardless of whatever horrible things.
Right. And so, like, you're not allowed to say in school, like, things about Jesus. And, like, yeah. you're not supposed to do that, but I do that constantly. And
I love you.
I have a rule breaker over here, like, when it comes to that. But and what's crazy is that a lot of those kids, they go to church. Like, because African-American culture, like, they are in church a lot. Yeah. Like, a lot of them do, and they have the big, huge, you know, they know the praise songs, and, like, they can sing all the words, but they just don't have any meaning behind it or foundation of why that's important.
Yeah.
And so teaching them that, like, just through loving them, like, I hope that's what they remember,
yeah.
is that somebody loved me a lot.
Absolutely. So the Bible says a lot about, like, blessed are the poor, and blessed are the poor in spirit. How do you see God through them being in low-income schools?
That is a hard scripture for me because it does not make sense to me why or yeah. how someone could be blessed when they're poor. Like, because when I see those kids, it just hurts my heart because they have absolutely nothing. And so when I go back to that scripture and I look at those types of kids, I'm going to hold it together for a second. It just reminds me of the passages in scripture whenever he tells the disciples to let the little kids come, because
yeah.
no matter what their circumstances are, and even kids that come out here, and we've had low-income kids come out to camp, and we call it Grace Week, and it really is a grace week because it just reminds you that someone else is worse off than you are, even though you put all of your issues and yourself on a pedestal. Like, someone is always worse off than you are. But as long as you have love and compassion, those kids love more than I have ever seen. And I had students who would tell me, Ms. Mojo, I'll fight somebody for you. Like, that's not what you want a kid to really do for you, but that's how they show that they love you. And so, like, they are a blessing. And they are blessed because they have the opportunity to receive the most love.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I think more people should be that way, like, to find themselves in a place where they can receive as much love as they need.
Yeah, and the Bible says His strength is glorified in our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And if our weakness is a place of emptiness and unloved, like, feeling unlovable, how much more room to be loved and to give love.
I know.
So, kind of going into, like, diversity in those things, what do you think we have to learn from people who aren't like us, who haven't come from the same background, or who don't look like us?
You have everything that to learn. Like, you have no idea what you can learn from someone who's not like you until you make yourself vulnerable enough to try.
Yeah.
which I think is why it's so cool to constantly come back to camp, because there is the same group of, like, a normal amount of people who come every year, but you always have new people who bring new perspectives. And that's what I love about all of our counselors that have always come, because they're from so many different places.
Yes.
And I have so many friends everywhere, and friends in England. Like, I didn't know that I would have friends there.
In Australia.
Like, yes. Like, I never would have expected that, or to learn things from them. And so putting yourself in a place where you can be around those diverse, like, backgrounds and knowledges. I never thought I would learn something from someone who was Catholic. Meeting so many people and learning, and y'all are all so much younger than me. And I say so much younger. I'm not old yet.
No,
but just being able to learn from people who are younger than me, I never would think, you know, you have that idea in your head that you're older and more mature, so you know more and you're wiser. But, like, whenever you are humbled out here and you start to learn from people who are younger than you, even, like, the little kids that come out here.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I feel like you find more of the Lord every time you allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Absolutely. I love that so much. And just seeing diversity within staff, even though we're obviously all Christian, we're all able to work at camp over summer, but we do come from so many different backgrounds and different faiths and also different walks of life. And
yeah.
I kind of assumed, because I go to a big SEC school and have kind of a traditional college experience, everyone else would, but it's been so cool to meet people who go to, like, private Christian schools, and people who don't go to college, like, do full-time missions or just, like, work. Has it been so special and so much to learn in that?
Oh, I know.
And then you've done a lot of creative things at camp. You helped a lot with programs last year, and your art is just beautiful. So, what about creativity, like, speaks to your heart, and how do you see God in that?
I don't know that I would necessarily put it in the words of that I see God in that, but that, like, that's how I see God.
Yeah.
Like, because I know I've talked about spiritual activities a bunch, but those are the things that resonate with me from all these years. And so, growing up out here, like, since I don't even know how old I was, but I've been out here for 19 years, I had, like, every summer there's something new that Miss Lenny would do that would show, like, her creativity. And when you see people who have similar talents as you, who are gifted in some of the same ways, who come from the same backgrounds, like, it's just so neat to watch how they worship. And I didn't know that could be a form of worship, like, because I guess growing up, I just thought that worship was, like, singing.
Yes.
I thought that was worship. And so, as I've gotten older and just been more a part of different things, like, worship is in so many different areas. And so, I feel like every time, and mostly out here, every time that I pick up a paintbrush, or every time that I'm a part of watching other kids pick up a paintbrush, or draw things, or go to the craft shed, or just walk through the craft shed, like, I'm almost moved to tears, because that's where I see the Lord the most, like, and that's how I connect to Him the most, because I can be most vulnerable in that situation.
Yeah.
And I don't have to try hard, and I don't have to be perfect. I can just go and do without thinking. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, like, you don't even have to try. Like, I don't, because that's what God gifted me with. Yeah. And so for other people, they don't have to try. Like, Connor doesn't have to try to memorize things or to be knowledgeable about yeah. something. And I want so badly to do that, right? Or I want so badly to be able to just stand up and, like, talk in front of people without having to be nervous or, like, hesitate or think really hard about what I'm going to say. Yeah. And so, for me, like, that's how art is. And so, it's just really neat to see that God works in so many different areas of your life, even when you least expect it. And so, being out here, like, you can see God's creativity constantly. And yes. one of my most favorite things to do is to literally just stand in the main area and look up at the trees, because there's so many different colors and, like, patterns yeah. and shapes, and I just love to see God that way. And so using my creativity allows me to do that.
Yeah, in Genesis 1, we first know God as a creator, and we move through a million other identities of him in the Bible, but we can go back to that first one. God's a creator. We're made in his image. We're made to be creative, yes. no matter what that looks like for you.
Yeah.
And I love that you keep saying, like, going back to vulnerability to encounter God and just how important that is, because I think we overlook that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on being afraid to be vulnerable or, like, nervous in prayer or anything like that?
So I did not pray in front of people for a very long time, like, when I was younger. Like, that's just awkward. Like, and I grew up Church of Christ, and so mostly men do those types of things. Like, mm-hmm. they pray, they speak, and so that really hindered me, I think, from being my best self.
Yeah.
And so I constantly have a little bit of fear and a little bit of worry. And so, like, that's why I have one of the tattoos that I have.
Yeah.
Because it says, look at the lilies in the field and how they grow, and they don't worry. Like, they're just there, and it just happens. And so I think whenever we just show up and just let God do what he wants, it happens, and we grow and we flourish and we touch people that we never would have expected to touch, because we let God do what he needs to. And so rather than being in control constantly, we can just stop and just let him do with us what he will.
Yes, I love that. And you mentioned Miss Lindy a couple times. And I know that y'all have your family. You've grown up. Yes. All the families that camp together, is it like 5 families?
Yeah. Well, technically, like, so there's two groups. And mm-hmm. I'll give you a little history. So there are 4 families that are part of our, like, family. And then we have our camp family.
Okay.
And so camp family is, like, 6 families. It's okay. The Lovelands, the Bromleys, the Fortenberries, our family, and then Missy Williams' family, mm-hmm. and then Miss Carrie Spence's family.
Okay.
Because we've always just been out here together.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, there was a point in time where we all came out here and cleaned the pool every summer, like, and ate pizza. Like, I remember that, just being at the pool and cleaning the nasty, like, gunk and then eating pizza together. Like, that's just what we did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she's close.
So having the family and all these families that have just grown to love the Lord together, and all their kids have grown up together at camp, and the parents have formed intentional relationships, what have you learned having that group throughout your entire life?
When I was at my worst point in my life, those are the people who brought me back to Jesus. Like, for real. And so, okay. Now that I'm 5 years married, and, like, thinking of the process of having my own kids, I go back to how they were for all of us. And, like, it's just a circle of parents. And so, I mean, your parents can't do it all by themselves. And, like, obviously, you rely on the Lord. But when you have that group of people who just to uplift you constantly, help parent your kids, and like are guiding you to the Lord your whole entire life. Like, that's how you grow. And like, to me, that's what I picture heaven to be like.
Yes.
Because it's just full of people who love you, who want you to be your best, who like see you when you're most vulnerable, like right now, and they just help you to be your best self. And you don't get that in the world all the time. And we don't have that capability everywhere. And so, like, when you make those relationships, even when it's not, like, a whole group of families, like, when you, even if it's just your group of friends, like, you can be yourself 100% of the time, and those people are going to love you no matter what because they have the Lord in their heart. And so, it just makes me want to be a better person and make those connections myself as an adult for my kids, like, in the future. Because when I went through my worst part in high school and just decided to let everyone know as a freshman, like, hey, here's my struggles. Some of those people, like David Romley, I told them before I told my parents. Because for me being able to talk to them and tell them where I was, they helped me communicate to my family in a way that, like, didn't get me killed. Like, you know, but they were just as close of parents as anyone else. And so growing up with that, like, I feel like it gives you so much more stability.
Yes.
And helps you just to be a better you.
I've never seen it more evident that it takes a village than seeing all of y'all love each other. And so
there's 20 of us. Well, now there's 21 because my best friend just had her first baby. And so, like, there's 21 of us. Like, we used to go on vacations together.
Yes.
And so, like, that tight-knit of a large group of people, like, that's a cloud of witnesses. And, like,
Absolutely. Those
are things that I think about when I think about family. Like,
that is so beautiful. And I just love watching y'all so much and just hearing the stories about the fun time. Like, Tyler loves telling vacation stories and stuff, but then hearing stories from Callie just about how she feels loved well and treasured.
Oh, my word.
By the people around her. So then the last questions. First is, what would you tell yourself before coming to camp every year?
I would say to not be afraid. Like, that would be to not be afraid and to be vulnerable. I guess that's my word for the day. Maybe I shouldn't have said identity. I should have said vulnerable instead.
You have to be vulnerable to find your identity.
Yes, you do. You do. But just to, like, to be open to be who you are and to learn new things about yourself, because we come to new places ready to be a certain way for certain people. And so when you come out here, you don't have to do that because there's not social media out here.
Yeah.
There's not an uproar of, like, people judging you because you don't have the right shoes or clothes on because it's disgusting out
Nobody
here.
Nobody likes
that. You don't have to worry about that because, I mean, you might have to worry, like, if everybody's wearing Nike shorts, and that's, like, the most that you have to worry about.
The thing of the year.
Yes, but, like, you just get the opportunity to meet so many people and to be a part of new things that you wouldn't have the opportunity to do unless you came to camp.
Yeah. And if we practice showing up here and being our authentic selves, then we'll get better at showing up other places and being open and vulnerable.
Yes. I think one of the best examples of that is Reeves. Because I've known Reeves for a really long time, and he drives me insane.
Because he does a lot of
I love him to death, but I remember him, like, picking up a guitar for the first time out here because someone else was playing, and he wanted to play. And now, like, a couple years later, like, after being fed just encouragement, and I hope that he remembers all the people who fed him encouragement, like, through those times, because he's out here leading worship now. Like, and he never would have been able to do that if he wouldn't have been out here for one and then just open to try and see what happens. And luckily he has a personality that allows him to just go and do and, like, be open. But a lot of people who are more reserved, that's a little harder. So I think that truly you do find new identities in yourself constantly when you come out here.
Yes, absolutely. And it's only my second summer out here, but already seeing so much how God's using skills that I didn't really know were skills. I'm like, I just know how to click a couple buttons. And now cool things are happening because of it. The same way with Reeves.
I know.
And then when you've been missing camp, what do you tell yourself?
Mm. So, I don't know if they still do this, but do they still do heartboard notes?
Yes. Okay. Once we have camp. So,
once camp starts.
Yeah. We're speaking it into existence.
So, yesterday, you, when you called me about this, like, just to ask if I would do this, I was like, oh, yeah. So, then I went upstairs in our attic and, like, got my camp box down because I have 19 years worth of crap that I've kept in a box. And so I went back and like I have so many heartboard notes from people. And like I still have my poster from a couple years ago whenever we wrote down like our strongholds and what our issues were in our scripture to combat that. Like I still have from last year our poster where we wrote all the people that we want to be in heaven with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I still have so many of those things. And so when I miss this place, that's what I do. Like, I go back to that, or I call people, and or I just randomly decide that I'm going to call six of you and have a Bible study on Zoom because that's what I want to do for the day.
Yeah.
And I may never do it again, but it, like, fills my heart. And then inside my Bible, like, was it last year that we went out to the field at 5:45 in the morning?
Yes.
Yes. And so, like,
I think it was before 5:45.
We went out for sunrise. Like, I still have papers and, like, scriptures and things that I wrote. And so, I can go back in my Bibles, like, over the years and find where I wrote things about camp. Like, right beside them. And so, when I miss this place, I go back to it because you can take it with you. Like, although coming out here to the middle of Louisiana in the blazing hot summer where it's humid and your hair grows 10 feet wider.
Yeah.
Like, you can still take parts of this place with you everywhere that you go.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important to make those connections with people when you do come out here because you will have this forever.
Yes, and it's so cool to read like your own prayers and stuff at the time, but also to read heartboard notes probably from a lot of the same people every year to see how it progressed.
Yes.
Everyone needs to go and write someone a letter now and like remember this time in your life and how someone loved you in that way. It's so special.
I mean, yes, like text messages, they're great, but it's just not the same. Like, as someone writing that down for you, like Spencer Carroll has been my best friend since 2009. Like that's the year I met him because he fell on the floor and scraped his leg. And I said, my mom's a nurse. And, and that's why we're friends. Like, because we met out here, and he is one of my closest friends that I would call for anything, who has loved me through every part of my life. And, like, I hope our kids grow up together. Like, I hope that we stay that connected constantly, and I think that's the purpose of being out here.
Absolutely. With the people. So, Lauren, thank you so much. This is so beautiful.
You're welcome.
Can I pray for us?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Lauren Mosier, and thank you for the gift that she is to camp and the gift that she is to us counselors and to all of the people in her life. We thank you so much that our identity is found in you and not in the world. God, we pray an identity of love, an identity of truth over our campers. Lord, we pray that they know whose they are and who you made them to be, that you knit them together, and that you just love them so dearly, and that they have a purpose, and that they are special, and they are chosen. God, thank you for the gift of children, and that you made us all differently. Thank you that Lauren gets to love kids every day, and I pray that we're all led to lead the kids in our lives, to lead them to you, to lead them to an identity and truth. God, thank you so much for creativity. Thank you that you made us each with different skills. And we pray over our campers that they would see how you've made them special, that they would see how you've made them set apart, and that they would use those things to draw themselves closer to you, that they would bring glory to you. God, give us vulnerable hearts. Give us hearts of love. Give us hearts of openness. Give us hearts of courage, because you want to speak to us through all the little things and through all the big things. And God, we just want to be so open to receive that today. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioga, and live knowing that you are loved.